Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Welcome to the Property Exchange podcast. This time, the chess moves you need to win the property game in the upwardly mobile London suburbs. In this episode, we're focusing on the strategies that London buyers are now adopting to snap up the home they want without loading themselves up with more debt. We're turning the spotlight in particular on two suburbs, Queen's Park in the northwest, which has seen an influx of buyers from pricey Notting Hill, and Tooting in the south, a lot more affordable than neighbouring Clapham. These places have good schools, green spaces and period houses, but they are still a lot cheaper than some of their neighbouring suburbs. Families are making sideways moves to these areas and finding they can get the kind of house they want for a lot less. But pulling off a successful move is like a game of chess. Not for nothing is finding the right house in Queen's Park now becoming known by some as the Queen's Park Gambit. So how's it done? For some insights on these manoeuvres, I'm joined as usual by Dominic Agge, CEO of Winkworth, and also by Charlie Mitchell of Winkworth Tooting and Stuart Boyd of Winkworth Kensal Rise. First, though, I'm going to be talking to you, Dominic. Before we get into the specifics of those sideways moves, what's the overall mood in the London market?
So I'm pleased to say I think it's followed a path that that I sort of had predicted and hoped in October, which was the more I was on the more optimistic end of the spectrum in terms of the what was to happen in 2023. And I think we're seeing that with some more general positivity coming through the news on the economy, rates having come down to a sort of more perhaps long-term 4%, and activity settling a long way off last year in the sort of boom years of the post-pandemic rush for space, but ahead of 2019, which, although many years ago, I think is probably the last normal year to compare against. So I think at the moment we're seeing a market adjusting. We're seeing it come off the, you know, we saw the sort of peak, I suppose, in August last year where records were being set regularly in every street. Now you're seeing that the market adjust down from those levels. I don't think it's a significant drop as many had predicted. I think what you're meaning is that your property may not sell for more than your neighbours sold for. So it's rather a lack of progression rather than a decline.
On the issue of mortgages, are your clients finding it easy to get the money they need? And are some of them looking to try and reduce their overall debt?
Yeah, I think so. I think there was a bit of a shock for everyone in October, November time. And I think we all looked at our own personal positions. And the market is held up by a large majority of cash buyers in terms of it's over 50%. And then two-thirds of that are fixed term. So it's quite a long-term market. But I think we all still look at the sort of sudden dramatic increases to 6.5%, and thought, how do we consolidate our personal positions? And I think what you're seeing in the market now is people adjusting to an increase of cost of finance, which is a significant part of the home buyers and owners' makeup, really. So that is feeding through now into people's choices. So in the property buyers' side of things, people are looking at where, you know, perhaps they can downsize and release some cash to sort of pay off debts and move into a similarly appealing property, perhaps 5 minutes further down the road or on the next tube line.
What would you say is the biggest threat to the London market now, and what could supply the biggest boost to activity?
Nothing's ever the same as it was previously. But the odd thing to this sort of economic challenge we're facing compared to the previous ones and I've been through is the key part of it all is employment and cost of finance is the other part. Cost of finance very much dictates the size of property and where you buy, and obviously employment is much more fundamental to that. So I think employment staying at record levels is why we're seeing these sort of sideways moves, if you like, because people are comfortable in their jobs and the market is strong, but the affordability has been affected. So people are still having to move on with their lives, but making different choices. So I think the biggest factor to look for is obviously employment in a property market. And if that's, you know, if that struggles, and there luckily aren't any signs of that at the moment, then there would be issues ahead. On the buy side, you know, really, I think what we'll see is the wage inflation's been running at, you know, 6-7%, I think, in particularly across the UK in the private sector. You know, you're seeing prices move somewhat sideways at the moment. And really, you know, inflation will do its job and affordability will improve as wages feed through into the property market.
Now, the history of London is all about areas coming up in the world. We're going to be looking today at Queen's Park and Tooting, but do you see any other locations that might have the same sort of potential to step into the limelight?
Yeah, I think so. I think, I mean, all parts of London have, it's the way property markets have always grown, really. You know, people have wanted to either live in where they grew up or when they moved to buy their own house, they wanted to move to the nearest area to where they were currently living. They can still access the shops and bars and lifestyle that they were accustomed to, but a slightly, you know, with a 5-minute walk or 10-minute walk. So I think that's the long term trend, and at the moment we're seeing more of it because, you know, because it's I suppose the sideways move is encouraged by the increased cost of finance for those of us looking to sort of buy a bigger house or an extra bedroom for a growing family, for example. So when you look at it, there are lots of areas. I mean, I think Ealing's been a classic area off the back of Chiswick. I think Highbury off the back of Islington, you know, sort of Crystal Palace in South London off the back of Dulwich. Shepherd's Bush has traditionally always been off Hammersmith, and you know, again, Ladbroke Grove off the back of Notting Hill. You know, these are all the sort of next day areas on. You know, they're more affordable. Basically, the vibrancy that's brought to it by the young professionals moving in there then brings those areas up to match the area they've just come from. So then you move to the next one down the road.
For you, what is the one sign that a place is the place to watch? What happens in the high street?
Well, obviously, the Butchers is a critical part to the affirmation of an area of having made it, I think. No, I think you know, these areas start, they're people who are young professionals with disposable incomes who support local economies, and that builds a vibrancy in the area. And so independent businesses can set up with the support of the local communities. And that, looking for things like, you know, local independent cafes, butchers, etc. These are things that people really appreciate amongst that community, and they kind of support its future growth. As a friend of mine once said to me, you know, we should all be buying from the local butcher because it's directly supporting our own house prices.
Well, thanks for that. Those are the big picture thoughts on the London market. I'm going to turn it over now to Stuart and Charlie. And first to you, Stuart. As always on this podcast, when we talk about a specific area, I'm going to ask you to turn tour guide and tell us all about your part of London. That's Kensal Rise and Queen's Park, which together form one of the capital's best loved villages. Tell us all about those areas now.
Well, Kensal Rise and Queen's Park is a super family orientated area. It's had an influx over the years of families looking to live there. It's got two main thoroughfares, really, Salisbury Road and Chamberlain Road, where there's a load of independent shops and boutiques. And you mentioned butchers earlier. There's a lovely butcher there called Provenance that's just opened up, and one on Chamberlain Road called Brooks. But generally, it just looks out for young families. It's very vibrant, young. Probably the age range is between sort of 25 and 45 who want to buy there. And yeah, just a generally sort of fun community area to be.
And the housing stock, mostly Victorian 30s?
Oh, a lot of the stuff around the park where people really want to be is Victorian. And then as you spread out a little bit away from that, it's the slightly more suburban looking 1920s, 30s. But actually, they've become a lot more popular in recent years because of the way they can be developed. With extensions and lofts and stuff like that. And obviously the saturation in the centre pushes people out towards the edges. So they've become a lot more popular recently.
Now, a lot of people go to your area to eat. There are some good restaurants, aren't there?
Yeah. And actually, off those two main thoroughfares, there's the locals in the know. They know that Longsdale Mews is very good. It's a little Mews road off that. It's got Carmel, which is like Ottolenghi-style eating. Milk Beach on the same road, and also College Road in Kensal Rise as well, which has recently had a renovation to the main pub, The Island, and Morty and Bob's has just opened up. So there's a lot of cool little independents opening up all over the place.
And what would you say are the very, very best roads in your area?
Well, if you can get overlooking the park, then it's dreamy. But that's overlooking Queen's Park. So you've got Chevening Road, Milman Road, Kingswood, and parts of Harvest Road as well. So they would be the kind of go-to streets that everyone wants to go to. But really, probably for the majority of people that are looking there, they're not that affordable. So really, if you plopped a stone in the centre of the park and watched the ripples come out, that then the housing stock gets more affordable as you go.
As I understand it, people are making sideways moves to Queen's Park and Kensal Rise. Yeah. Where are they coming from?
The gambit, as you said. Yeah. A lot of clients from Notting Hill, Maida Vale. They're the two kind of areas to our south and southeast that buyers are coming from. And, you know, there's two ways to look at it. There's the sort of growing family who would be looking at a flat, let's say, you know, around 1,000 square foot in Notting Hill. They'd probably be paying 1.5 to 2 million for that, and they can swap that for a 4-bedroom house of the same amount. So if you've got a growing family and you want to make that longer term purchase, then that house for the same money as a flat is a great idea. And then you've probably got the more experienced families as well, where their kids might be leaving soon, and for them they can buy the same size for half the price. So they would make that sideways move. From a, say, £3.5-4 million house down to a £2 million house, but it would be the same square footage, and that would be probably for reasons of releasing finance, so getting rid of the mortgages and using some of the equity that they've built up over the years in these more expensive areas.
So a crucial part of the Queen's Park gambit, yes indeed, that is our phrase of the day, is actually reducing debt.
For the families that are not growing, I'd say for the older families,
What are the next great roads? Those are tipped for greatness.
College Road recently in Kensal Rise has had a renaissance. It's anything off there has been really well sought after. Those roads would be things like Herbert Gardens, Hardinge Road, Chelmsford Square, which has got lovely tennis courts in the middle of it. And the same way as buyers are moving from Maida Vale and Notting Hill to make this sideways move, a lot of buyers are moving from Queen's Park to Kensal Rise to do the same thing.
So Kensal Rise is slightly more affordable than Queen's Park?
Yeah, slightly.
It all sounds so great, you'd never want to leave, but just supposing you do...
I don't ever leave. I work there and I live there. I hardly ever get out.
Just supposing you ever wanted to go up to town, what's the commute like?
Pretty good. You can go a few different routes. I'd say central London's probably about 20 minutes. If you're looking for the nightlife and the theatre and stuff like that. But if you're in the city, it's probably going to take you 35, 40 minutes to get down there. But I mean, as a commute in London terms, that's nothing to be shy of.
Now, I know you really love your patch, but surely there's one drawback.
There's not enough of it, probably. For the demand that we've got, it's just not big enough, you know.
So tell me, what area bordering Kensal Rise and Queen's Park could come up now?
Yeah, so areas that are doing really well are parts of Willesden Green, Mapesbury, and parts of Cricklewood as well, which is to the north of us, and they will cater for the movement out of Queen's Park and Kensal Rise as well, and perhaps to the west of us, a place called Harlesden, but they're taking their time to come up. But Kensal Rise and Queen's Park have been the main ones recently.
So you heard it here first, the next areas that are going to be coming up around about the northwest of London. But we are now going to get into a car or a tube or a bus and go to Tooting with Charlie. Charlie, buyers from Clapham and Battersea are moving sideways to Tooting and they're saving as much as £500,000 on a family-sized house. What's drawing them to your part of town? Take us on that tour.
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary, the price difference. I think the biggest draw for buyers is you're still in the Wandsworth borough. So you're obviously the main thing is council tax is a huge, huge saving. But you've still got that perfect blend of what one would expect of Southwest London neighbourhood. Lots of great commons, Tooting Beck, Wandsworth Common, loads of independent shops, restaurants. A particular favourite for me is Richard's Kitchen on Tooting Beck Road. And Bordelais in the market. The market is absolutely phenomenal. Probably a bit like Brixton Market 5 years ago. And then you've got the schools, both state and independent. We're really blessed with some outstanding primary schools and secondary, Graveney, and then a number of prep schools. So I think the adjustment from Clapham, Battersea to Tooting isn't quite as big as one might expect, but the price difference is huge.
And what kind of housing stock have you got?
So a bit like Stuart, we've got a lot of the Edwardian Victorian houses, especially up Tooting Beck, which is basically a Butts Balham. But we've then got Tooting Broadway, which is just one stop further down, where a lot of first-time buyers are attracted. You've got purpose-built maisonettes, sort of 1920s, that offer huge, huge space, especially when the lofts are converted. They're about 1,400 square foot, and they're trading for around 750,000. So you're basically buying a house. Well, in some circumstances, they're bigger than a lot of houses, but for half the price. So It's a huge draw, especially for first-time buyers who maybe want to rent rooms out. And we see a lot of that at the moment.
Essentially, there is something for just about everybody. What's the entry-level budget to your area?
You can pick up a fantastic one-bed for around 385, 400,000. And I think I always say we've got three markets, and I can see a first-time buyer all the way through to sort of retirement almost, because we have the first-time buyer buying their one bed, then they might go and buy a little totter-down cottage. They're around 650,000 for a freehold house. And then they might have a family and go and buy, I don't know, a Dufferin Road house, double-fronted, for around 1.5 million. Which, if they moved to Balham or Clapham, would probably be around 2.5 million.
So what are the trophy streets?
Dufferin Road, which is right next to Tooting Beck. It's stunning. It's tree-lined. Lots of double-fronted houses. Very, very, very beautiful. And then you go down to Tooting Broadway. I mean, I'm slightly biased. My office is in Tooting Beck. But you go down to Broadway, and you've got Bickley Street, Selling Court Road. They're gorgeous. But they're maisonettes, so it's a different market. But then we have Fursdown, which is a bit of a hidden gem. It's a bit like a village. It's about a 15-minute walk to transport links. But with COVID and everything, we've seen a huge surge in people, especially young, move there.
For a lot of people who don't know London, those prices would seem quite high. If Tooting is your dream and that's where you'd like to move when you've got some more money, where would you go to be nearby?
Yeah, I think Colliers Wood is probably the next great thing in Southwest London. It does fall just outside of the Wandsworth Borough, but you're still on the Northern Line. It's got some beautiful roads, and we do see a lot of our clients that are sort of pushed out of the market in Tooting Broadway. They just go one stop further down. So a bit like Stuart in Kensal. It's that natural compromise, but it's not really much of a compromise because you're still getting beautiful houses on wonderful streets.
What about the commute to town from Tooting Beck and Tooting Broadway?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the obvious advantages. You actually get a seat on the tube. We're on the Northern Line, so you've got access into town is very, very easy. But also one of the slight hidden gems is Tooting Overground, which is very underrated and lots of people don't really talk about it. But that's got direct trains to Blackfriars in under 20 minutes and London Bridge. So we're really, really well catered.
Is there a single drawback to this area?
I mean, like lots of London suburbs, there are some scruffy parts. But to be honest, those areas are just up and coming.
To you both, a final question. Not so long ago, the distance to the station was the key thing when you bought a house in London. Has the pandemic changed that? Are people as insistent as before on a 5 or 10 minute walk? No more. First to you, Stuart.
In Kensal Rise and Queen's Park, it is still important to be close to the transport links. I think we've come through a roller coaster since the pandemic where there was the attitude that everyone was going to be working from home. And people obviously took that view and moved out of London because of it. But it seems to me in the last year or so that companies have come back in, more people are travelling back to work. And I think there was a point when that might have been true. But overall now, we're back to where we were. People still want to be close to transport. Not 1 or 2 minutes, but as long as it's a 5 or 10 minute walk, like you say, then that will do for them. And most of our area is within a 5 or 10 minute walk from a good transport link anyway.
So, Charlie, for you, is it still the most important thing for buyers to be within an easy walk?
Sure. I think there's no denying that those streets within 2 to 3 minutes walk to Tooting, Beck will always be the most popular and probably the most expensive roads for convenience. However, there is a bit of a hidden gem, as I said earlier, a place called Firsdown, which sits between Tooting and Streatham. It feels like a village. I'm very, very fond of it. It's quite a sort of leafy neighbourhood. You've got beautiful tree-lined streets, Ribblesdale Road, Clareview Road, and an outstanding state high school, which is a big pull for a lot of people. A lot of those families that move there will ultimately move to the countryside. But the houses there, you're typically paying about 1.3 million for a very large, probably around 2,500 to 3,000 square foot. That house, pick it up, move it to Clapham, it's going to be trading for around 2 million. And they're very similar types of people will move to those areas.
I think we'll leave it there. And I'm going to thank Dominic, Stuart and Charlie so much for joining us on this episode of The Property Exchange. It's been good to have a guided tour of two areas of London that we should be keeping a close eye on now. Do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast, where again we'll be talking about the latest trends in residential property. If you want to know more, then be sure to subscribe.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.